Time for another Taco Tuesday here on Q92, where we get together with registered dietitian nutritionist Amber Boyens from IMI Nutrition right here in Madison, and also working up on the hill at Madison Healthcare Services now. She's available up there.
Sure am.
And welcome back to the radio.
Thanks for having me.
You're no stranger to the airwaves.
I'm not.
That's right. You've been doing it since you were a teenager.
Or younger.
Or younger. Didn't get paid much, but
no, that's okay.
That's right. I'll make that up to you.
It was more for the love of radio.
That's true. I'll make it up to you someday. Don't hold me to that. Well, what are we going to talk about today? I heard something about diet and stress.
Yeah.
On your mind today.
You know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Right.
And I thought it would be good for us to talk just a little bit. People don't really think a whole lot about mental health and diet going hand in hand, but they do. I mean, mental health and diet are pretty closely correlated in a number of ways. There's no way we can cover it all just in one topic here, but I thought we could talk a little bit today about diet and stress, because for most people, stress is not a foreign thing. A lot of people experience stress in various ways, might ebb and flow throughout their lives depending on what's going on. And I'm certainly not here to tell you that diet is the only contributor to why we experience stress, but it can have an impact. So I thought, particularly, not only is May Mental Health Month, but it is insanely busy this month for families with children. I've heard more than once from parents in the last couple of weeks that May is worse than December, is what people say. So it is just a busy time of year. All the events are happening. All the award ceremonies are happening. The programs, the concerts, the recitals. There's just a lot going on.
Graduations.
Gosh, how could I miss that?
Tournaments.
Tournaments. Yep. It's all everything. It's wild.
All at once.
So when we have all of that stuff going on, whether we have children or not, just when we are in those busy or more stressful periods of life, we tend to also gravitate toward foods that are going to give us a quick dopamine release, things that are going to make us feel happy. We tend to go to the things that are quick and convenient, because not cooking and not having to worry about food and what we're making for supper alleviates a little bit of that stress. However, some of those choices that we may make when we're in those more stressful environments might actually be worsening how we feel and how our body is able to handle stress. So not all stress is bad. Some stress is good. Small amount of psychological stress can help us grow and learn about ourselves and develop. Exercise is stress. I know you are a passionate advocate for vigorous exercise.
Oh, I am. I just walked from the VFW to the radio station.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So
I was at Kiwanis, by the way. I wasn't in the bar.
No, yes. Yeah, that is a good clarification. Yeah, you know, just after lunch on a Tuesday.
Right.
There's so many different things that can impact it, though. Not all stress is bad. It can be a good thing. Exercise is stress. When done properly, it's immensely beneficial. But if we have excessive stress for a long period of time, that increases our risk for a number of chronic health conditions and just decreases our quality of life. So cortisol, have you heard of cortisol before?
No.
It's our primary stress hormone, or one of our primary stress hormones. When we're experiencing stress, our cortisol level will increase. Then it decreases, or it should decrease, at times of relaxation, such as overnight, when melatonin takes over. So
I've heard of that.
You've heard of melatonin. Yes, a lot of people have heard of melatonin. We need it to sleep, right? And if our cortisol levels are constantly elevated, our body has a really hard time turning on melatonin, and it can make it really difficult for us to sleep. Diet is one thing that can impact cortisol. So as we talk about this today, if somebody out there that's listening has a medical condition related to cortisol, I'm not suggesting that we manage that strictly with diet, but this information is really relevant to anybody who experiences stress. So there are three kind of big categories that can increase our cortisol levels. The first one is our low-quality carbohydrates. So low-quality carbohydrates, or low-nutrient-density carbs, are often the things that have a lot of added sugars. So we think about our treats, we think about pop, we think about ice cream, candy, all of that kind of stuff. None of that's bad. There are no good foods versus bad foods, but we know that we don't need a ton of added sugar. And when we have a lot of added sugar and a lot of low-quality carbohydrates like that, even things like refined grain crackers and chips and all of that, when we have a lot of that, we tend to see cortisol levels increase. And that, again, just increases the stress our body is experiencing and makes us less resilient to how we're able to handle it. So one of the things we often talk about, especially in children, but in anybody who's eaten a bunch of sugar at once, we talk about a sugar high, or kids are experiencing a sugar high because we talk about it a lot with children. But I think it's important to recognize that in children or individuals with really well-working endocrine systems, our blood sugar is never going to go that high. Our pancreas does a great job, if it's working correctly, of sending out insulin to bring our blood sugar levels back down. However, that increased cortisol can impact behavior, agitation, ability to regulate mood, and then some of the other things that we tend to get with those lower quality foods, like all of the added food dyes and stuff like that. Some of those, in some people, can also affect mood and behavior, irritation, emotional regulation. So this increase in cortisol can be one of the things that can sort of stress out our nervous system when we take in large quantities of sugar at once. Now, often those large quantities of sugar also come with caffeine. Caffeine's another one that can increase our cortisol levels. Now, we've talked about caffeine before, so I'm not going to dive super deep into it. We know that some caffeine can be beneficial. Up to about 400 milligrams of caffeine a day can be useful. 200 for people who are sensitive.
How about 4 million?
4 million is a little too much.
I'm probably more in that range.
So a little caffeine is probably totally fine. And there is research that for people like yourself who consistently consume caffeine pretty much every single day.
I'm drinking half calf now, though.
Which is great. So if we're in that range, which you probably are now, of about that 200 to 400 milligrams a day, your body kind of gets used to it, and it tends to mitigate a lot of the effect that it has on cortisol. So after time, if we're not excessively consuming caffeine, we may see improvement in, you know, how that cortisol response looks. So if we're looking at what 200 to 400 milligrams looks like, if we're drinking full calf coffee, one cup of coffee usually has about 80 to 100 milligrams. So it'd be four cups of coffee in a day. One shot of espresso usually has about 100 milligrams, and a typical like medium coffee will usually have two shots of espresso. So that's about 200 milligrams right there. Soda has somewhere between 35 and 45. Some of them are a little higher. Energy drinks, pretty wide range on energy drinks, anywhere from 40 milligrams of caffeine up to 250 or more. So just being mindful of how much caffeine you're taking in, especially if you're in a high stress situation. And then the last one is alcohol. Alcohol initially might trigger a decreased cortisol level, which is why sometimes people think they feel better when they drink. But long term, it tends to raise cortisol, decrease our sleep quality. And in general, we just see more and more research coming out that the less alcohol, the better for most people.
Yeah, it's just generally a good idea.
It is just generally a good idea. So what can you eat then? Well, all the things I always tell you to eat.
Well, I jokingly Googled something here.
Okay.
And found out that it didn't turn out to be a joke.
What, chickpeas?
Chickpeas are a beneficial food for managing cortisol levels.
Did they really
know that?
Are.
I was going to say I manage my stress with chickpeas, but maybe it's a good idea.
You
says,
could.
Due to their high content of stress-fighting nutrients and ability to help balance blood sugar, they're rich in magnesium, which plays a crucial role in regulating cortisol. So
exactly.
I better get a handful of chickpeas.
That's right. They have magnesium, protein, and fiber, all three of which are great at mitigating that cortisol response. So helping us manage normal cortisol levels. Also, our omega-3 fatty acids that we talk about, also great. Our fatty fish, our nuts and seeds, vitamin B12, which we also get from fatty fish, meats, egg yolk, things like that. We've talked about those probiotics before, our fermented foods, yogurt, kefir, kombucha, fermented sauerkraut. And then just in general, all of those antioxidants we get from fruits and vegetables. So it really comes down to if you're eating real food, if you're eating food that was raised on a farm or in your backyard or grew out of the ground, you're probably doing okay.
You know what kind of nuts I really enjoy?
What kind?
What do I?
Oh, you love cashews.
Yeah, and it says here cashews can be a helpful addition to a diet aimed at managing stress due to their nutritional profile.
Again,
so I better eat some more cashews.
There you go. Maybe this is why you're so laid back most of the time.
Maybe it's those cashews and chickpeas.
That's right.
Caffeine and stuff.
And caffeine and stuff. Yes.
Yeah. That must be it.
There we go.
Someday I'll write a book.
There, I love it. Maynard's Guide to Health.
Don't read it. I did make it to almost 73, but
and you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. So, all right. Well, Amber, good topic today. If anybody has any questions on this and other things dealing with their diet and nutrition, they can give you a call, right?
They sure can. You can find me online at immunutrition.com or on Facebook at immunutrition. That's I-M-U, nutrition. Call up to the clinic. You can schedule an appointment to see me or call over here to the station. You guys can find me.
That's right. And we'll see you again on another Taco Tuesday next Tuesday afternoon.
Thank you.